for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. Unfortunately, I've been hit, as you can probably tell, by the dreaded New Year cold. It's not COVID this time, but wearing nonetheless and struggling, trying to present a show in between coughing fits with a throat that feels something like I've swallowed a hamster wearing an armadillo disguise. It's proven not as simple as I'd hoped to produce and record a show this week. So not the opening of the year show for the FA Cup third round I had hoped, but a show nonetheless that a few hours ago seemed a long forlorn hope, I have to say. Thankfully, I'm supported this week by my regular colleagues, and I do speak with Phil Annette at FA Cup Fact File, previewing the FA Cup third round, and also to David Richardson, senior writer at the Non-League paper, and we speak about the FA Cup, National League, managerial moves and the transfer windows, plus what else we can expect to read in this weekend's Non-League paper. So not the prize-winning episode I'd hope, but still stuff to entertain and inform, which is the way we like to do it. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So a new year always comes with a sense of excitement, but also on this show, sometimes a little sadness. There's the magic of the FA Cup third round, but with it, the realisation that this could possibly be the final stat contribution from my next guest, the final one of the season. I hope not, as he's always been a vital part of the show in recent years, and I hope this that his expert knowledge and insight are going to be enough to guide one of our four non-league sides into the fourth round of the competition. It is, of course, time to offer a warm welcome to our FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Annette, to the Non-League Football Show. Welcome back, Phil.
Good to be back, Tim. Thank you for having me again. Yes, it's nice to be able to still talk about non-league clubs in the FA Cup come the third round. And you're right, we've got four clubs again, which is the same number that we had last year. And last year, if you remember, we did get at least one through to the fourth round. So hopefully this will happen again this year.
Yeah, and the 150th year of the FA Cup will be good for non-league to be a major part of the competition this year. I mean, let's start with the first one of those four ties alphabetically. And Boreham Wood against AFC Wimbledon. Plenty of media attention to this one with Luke Garrard, the Woods manager, obviously a Don's old boy. But what stats should Mr. Garrard be pinning to that dressing room wall ahead of 3 p.m. on Saturday?
Well, of course, Boreham Wood are the only non-league side to have made it to the third round in both the last two seasons. I think Eastleigh were the last club to do that back in 2017. And this is the furthest they've got, so they should have some motivation to want to set a new personal best as they did last season to get to the fourth round. Yeah, it'd be tough against AFC Wimbledon, who obviously two levels above them in this pyramid. But they themselves have only gone beyond the third round once in the last 20 years. So, you know, there's no reason to think that Boreham Wood at home couldn't give them a good go, and maybe they will create more history for the club.
Yeah, and I think Boreham Wood unbeaten in 10 at the moment in all competitions, and Meadow Park's been pretty much a stronghold for them this year as well. And I get what we'll talk about it again, the TV choices for this third round. This has all the marks of potential cup set.
It does. I mean, it's what the FA Cup is about, really. It's a David versus Goliath, but I'm guessing that the TV companies don't believe the Goliath is big enough, and therefore that's why it's not being selected. And it's a shame, because I think it'll be a good game.
And interesting, I mean, yeah, well, I'll talk to you about the four non-league ties, and there's obviously another 28 ties in this round, and you've done your full FA Cup fact file as you would for every round of the competition and all of these. And going through that, I looked at one of the ties that's been chosen, Man United against Aston Villa, and in your notes section where you mentioned where the clubs have previously met one another, I think I almost needed an extra page to print out where those two clubs have played each other in the FA Cup again. And it's almost like it's like when you're talking to your kids as to what book do they want you to read, and they always remember the one that they've seen most recently. And I think I'm almost certain that's the way that the TV choices were made.
Well, yeah, they I think, and it's a personal opinion here, that they're not showcasing the FA Cup. They're using the FA Cup to be able to showcase what they've got. And they want to maximise their opportunity by, in their view, appealing to as many people as they can by having the bigger teams selected. But my view is that, that people are tuning in to watch the FA Cup, and as many would watch, I think, Bournemouth would play AFC Wimbledon live on TV as they would watch Manchester United play Aston Villa.
Yeah,
saying that, though, obviously the TV companies have got foreign markets to aim for as well, where they may not be so interested in the non-league side versus Wimbledon. So they've got to try and appeal to those. But I think it's a missed opportunity and a real shame.
Yeah, I risk sounding really old here. It's like a similar sort of thing where many TV shows are presented by the person that's got the biggest Twitter following or social media following in a modern era. And you know, I'm a big fan of social media and things like that. But I do think that the stories are the and the just the passion that we get in these ties. That's the bit of the FA Cup that everybody loves and everybody remembers for years to come.
They will, and all the programmes will start off with exactly that, the giant killing exploits of teams like Hereford and co. And they'll talk about the magic of the FA Cup, and they'll say how fantastic it is, and then they'll show two sets of reserve sides from the Premier League playing off against each other. So there's a definite mismatch between how they claim they're presenting the competition and what they actually do.
And the other 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday is the one that, but maybe I sense it probably has the greatest potential for a cup set. It's Kidderminster Harriers of the National League North, lowest-ranked side, hosting Championship side Reading. On paper, that divide between the two clubs should be too much, but any hope you can give Russ Penn's side?
Well, it is the I think, the biggest gap, or the second biggest gap in the round. I'm going to be at Kidderminster for the game, so hopefully I can bring them some luck. We have to look at the fact that Kidderminster have already scored 11 goals in the tournament so far, so they're the top scorers of those that are still in. And Reading aren't really on great form, so there's no real reason to think that with home advantage that they couldn't do them over and get through to the fourth round for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah, and Kidderminster, you know, they've already seen off Grimsby and FC Halifax this season. I mean, interesting, I don't think they've actually played a game since the 18th of December in the FA Trophy. They lost to Boston. So, yeah, whether that's a benefit or a negative, I'm not quite sure. But it certainly means that Kidderminster would have been fully focused on this game coming up on Saturday.
Well, and why not? It's a great opportunity for them to get through. And I can't believe they would be ignored if they made it through to the fourth round by the TV companies, whoever they managed to draw against. So, yeah, good luck to them. And let's hope we're having for a good game on Saturday.
Yeah. And I've got to mention that word cup set again. Yeovil Town, AFC Bournemouth. Yeah. It's another this one's the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. And again, yeah, Yeovil, they're the specialists at this cup set malarkey.
They are.
How many previous Football League sides have they beaten as a non-league club?
Yeah, well, they're synonymous with giant killing in the competition. As a non-league club, they when they beat Stevenage in the second round, that was their 21st scalp record for the competition. And within those 21 teams is AFC Bournemouth twice. So they've twice beaten the opponents on Saturday, and it would be an unwanted record for Bournemouth to find themselves losing three times to the same non-league team. The Yeovil have set records in every round that they've played in this season. So can they continue that? They when they beat Weymouth on penalties to win through the fourth qualifying round, they made it to the first round for the 52nd time, which is a record for any non-league club to get to the proper rounds that many occasions. And then we can remember that they were paired with Yate Town in the first round, which was, as I brought to everyone's attention, was the first time ever two clubs beginning with the letter Y faced each other in a competition out of 72-odd thousand matches.
There's almost a whole new FA Cup book based around Yeovil Town I can see coming here.
Yeah, I think there was a sub-genre there, yeah, definitely.
Yeovil, I'm sure, would maybe prefer to have played this game before Christmas. I think they were on an 11-game unbeaten run before the Christmas period, and they've lost back-to-back games. But that certainly, that's another one that I can see as a potential cup set. Now, the big game for many is Chesterfield's trip to Chelsea, also Saturday evening. And I can see the appeal of that. You know, Chesterfield in great form in the National League, but so are Chelsea in the Premier League. And I just think that gap is going to be too great for the non-league contingent to get a result at Chelsea.
Well, it is the biggest gap of the round. 91 places, I think, separate them. For me, it's the long-delayed 1997 FA Cup final. Because as we know, if you know your FA Cup history, Chesterfield were, I would claim, robbed of their place in the final when a legitimate goal was ruled out. I think it was John Howard who scored, and he ended up drawing 3-3 with Middlesbrough and then lost the replay. So a lot of Chesterfield fans will see this as the 97 Cup final, and that'll be incentive enough for the fans and the team to give it a good go at Chelsea. And the question is whether Chelsea are interested in the FA Cup this year. They've got a good recent record to maintain. They've progressed beyond the third round in each of the last 23 seasons, which is a competition record. So they'll, you know, if they're interested in that kind of thing, they'll be keen to keep that run going. And they've obviously had a very good record in the FA Cup in the 21st century. So it'll be very tough for Chesterfield. They'll be going there with no one expecting them to do anything, but you never know, it might be their year to surprise everyone again.
Yeah, and two clubs beginning with C. I mean, I'd imagine that's happened fairly regularly in the FA Cup.
But not CHE, that doesn't happen too often. But I'd have to have a look to find out how many.
I'm sure if anyone can find out, Phil, it'll be you. Of course, as I mentioned, we focus on non-league on this show, but there are those 20 other ties in the round. You mentioned Chelsea's record in the FA Cup this season. Anything of particular note to entertain our friends with from the other 28 ties?
I would say Barrow FC, AFC, sorry, Barrow AFC is something that maybe people want to get behind. It's their 13th time that they've made the FA Cup third round, but they're yet to get into the fourth round. So it would be lucky 13 for them if they could do it. They're away at Barnsley. It would be tough. But, you know, I'm egging them on. I'm almost a Barrow fan for the weekend because I'd love to see them create FA Cup history for themselves after so many missed opportunities of doing so.
Yeah, and it is 150 years of the competition, and that's a multitude of information, facts, stats, and of course you compile all of those in your book, FA Cup 150. Yeah, remind people how they can grab a copy if Santa wasn't kind to them over the Christmas season.
Well, you might have got an Amazon voucher, which you can use on Amazon. If you look up FA Cup 150, you can get hold of the book there. But if you buy a copy from my website during January, then I'm offering the delivery to be free of charge. So if you want to go to facupflatfile.co.uk/shop, then you can get hold of a copy there and I will refund you the postage.
Oh, what? Yeah, generous, even in the new year there, Phil. We hope to have you back on the show to chat non-league involvement in the fourth round, but we're also going to have you back with your FA Vars hat on and also the Factor hat on in coming weeks. Can you sort of just remind people what the Factors are all about?
Yeah, so the Factors stands for the FA Cup Fact File Team Awards. The only awards that recognise non-league clubs' contributions to the FA Cup each season, and it's the seventh year that they're running. I've been seeking nominations for the awards, and which will run on the week after this weekend, where people can vote for the clubs that have been nominated, things like team of the competition and surprise of the competition and performance of the competition, etc. And this year I'm doing a special factor to commemorate the 150th anniversary, and I'm looking for nominations for who people think is the non-league team that has had the biggest impact on the FA Cup over its 150-year history, or at least since 1889, when obviously non-league clubs were defined. So I'd welcome people's views on who they think from the non-league world has had the biggest impact on the FA Cup. And again, it'll be a special one-off award this year where the top four nominated clubs will be voted on to see who can claim that special factor award.
And where can people find out more about the Factors and your FA Cup fact file preview for all of the third round?
Yeah, so they can obviously follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fat File, and they can go onto my website as well, facupfatfile.co.uk, and I do run a blog which covers the FA Cup and other competitions and other football stories, and that's at wordpress.facupfatfile.com.
At FA Cup Fat File, Phil Annett, thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Brilliant stuff, Tim. Thanks for your time.
So let's round off this week's news, and it's time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers as ever. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, and a happy new year to a senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Happy New Year to you. Although may not be quite so happy with your chest infection at the moment. I hope you're okay.
I think it's been it's happy for everybody else in my household, apart from the coughing. I think I've run out of sympathy. There's a level. I think and then you get to a stage, and really everybody just then wants to move. Yeah, I haven't, to be honest, I've not been out that much at all. With it, because, well, where do you go at the moment anyway? But I'd imagine it will be a great way of finding space in a park or in a public space by just coughing in the modern era. But I am COVID free according to all the PCRs and LFTs. I don't know, more abbreviations than I need to know. But and if I ever need to stick another thing up my nose, I might have to speak to a couple of 60s musicians, maybe. They can give me some advice. Anyway, we move away from non-league football. Let's jump back in. This weekend is always a good one, but an odd one. It's the big weekend when the world media suddenly become interested in all the clubs, all the players, and all the people that we know and that we love and embrace throughout the season. Everybody else is sort of on our turf.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it? Sometimes when you get to this stage, but I suppose they are the non-league clubs in the third round of the FA Cup are the story, of course. And some really sort of exciting ties to look forward to this weekend. Obviously, Bournemouth hosting AFC Wimbledon. Bournemouth are sort of club that seems to reach this stage or reach sort of the second round of the FA Cup sort of almost every year. They've got a great record and good chance there to try and upset Wimbledon. Kidderminster is also at home, the lowest ranked team left in the competition. They're taking on Reading. Obviously it's quite some surprise that this one wasn't selected for live TV broadcast, but it'll still be a great occasion there for Kidderminster and the packed out crowd. Chesterfield going to Chelsea, which is very much sort of the dream tie really for non-league clubs going to a big Premier League club like that. 6,000 Chesterfield fans going down to Chelsea for that 5:30 kickoff on Saturday evening. So yeah, another really good one there to look forward to. That one can be seen on BBC iPlayer live, as can the Oval Town against AFC Bournemouth at 5:45. A third non-league club at home there. They upset Stevenage in the previous round at their place. So, yeah, another chance for an upset. And, yeah, hopefully come sort of 8 p.m.-ish on Saturday, we're drawing up a front page with an upset or two on.
Yeah, it is an odd one this year because all of those non-league sides are in action on the Saturday. And I guess those later kickoffs as well probably don't help you much either for your deadlines.
Yeah, well, I'm going to the Chelsea game on Saturday, so I'll be one of the reporters sort of frantically trying to get things together and copy sent over. But yeah, not ideal with those late kickoffs, but quite a nice change really to have those big FA Cup games all sort of on a Saturday really, because we don't usually get those. So can't complain too much.
Yeah, and I'd imagine the media zone at Chelsea will probably be one of the finest of the year that you'll visit.
Yeah, I think so. Hope so. Putting the hard yards, going up to Chorley twice last year and Marine as well. And so I suppose for every one of those trips, you get one at Chelsea. So yeah, looking forward to it.
We spoke to Phil Annetts, FA Cup fact file, earlier on about each of the games regarding from a stats point of view. But have you been able to get any player management insight at all for these games this week?
Well, Chesterfield's been interesting because they had a bid rejected for Notts County sort of star Callum Roberts, which is interesting. Obviously, Jack Clark re-ruptured his hamstring not long after scoring on his return for Chesterfield the other week. So they were looking for a replacement for him, or are looking for a replacement for him. And obviously, yeah, I've sort of tested the waters with Callum Roberts at Notts. But, you know, I think they would be very foolish to let him go. And it certainly seems that, by all accounts, you know, it's not their intention to do that, particularly to a National League promotion rival as well. So a little bit of sort of news there, but, you know, otherwise I think all clubs are sort of hoping that COVID issues and injuries clear up and they can really sort of go into these games as strong as possible, really. I know, speaking to James Rowe last weekend after their win over King's Lynn, I asked him whether he was going to the Chelsea-Liverpool game that was on last Sunday, and he said he wasn't going because he didn't want to risk sort of being amongst a big crowd and potential for catching COVID. So just sort of goes to show the sort of you know, awareness and sort of caution, I suppose, that people are showing ahead of these FA Cup games. And you know, you certainly wouldn't want to miss out on sort of a big FA Cup third round tie like that, would you? So yeah, that's sort of all sort of I know at the moment, really. Obviously, we've got some weather to contend with as well, sort of currently, and heavy rain forecast on Saturday across the country, so that'll be another factor. But yeah, hopefully all these games go ahead okay.
Yeah, and you know, the schedules are, well, are they going to be very busy from here on in to the end of the season across the pyramid, I think. So, certainly don't want to lose too many games this Saturday, whether in the FA Cup or further down. Despite, you know, the clubs involved in the FA Cup this weekend, we've got a fairly strong National League calendar as well this weekend. FC Halifax have another chance to go top if they beat Eastleigh on Saturday, with Chesterfield engaged in the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's right. And I look at that as an opportunity to do that, you know, psychologically, mentally, to go back top of the league. You know, it's a big thing. So they'll really want to sort of take advantage of Chesterfield not playing in the league this weekend and capitalise on that. Yeah, like you say, obviously Notts at Dover. So, you'd think there's points to be certainly had there. Bromley Solihull, an interesting one in terms of the playoff battle. Interesting sort of games coming up sort of on all fronts, really.
Yeah, and one club that's up there, and they've almost crept up there, not really surprisingly, because we always thought that they would be up there battling Wrexham without a game this weekend. And again, when you're, you know, they're third now, I think, in the table, and they're pushing there, although they played more games than Halifax and Chesterfield. To be without a game this weekend is probably going to be a very frustrating for them.
Yeah, it is, particularly on the back of losing 3-1 at Notts County on the last weekend, which, you know, I sort of speaking to sort of some Wrexham supporters recently, they were sort of saying they felt like, you know, they've been heading in the right direction. They've obviously, like you say, sort of got up into the top seven there, but they were sort of saying that they needed a big win, you know, a big win against one of their promotion rivals and something really to sort of show a bit of intent and make a bit of a statement. And yeah, losing 3-1 at Notts obviously wasn't that. And now obviously not with a chance to sort of make amends and get back on track, like you say, it's going to be frustrating for them. But, you know, it's a time to sort of take stock. They'll certainly be looking to make a few signings, I imagine, in this month. Obviously, the transfer window rules are different for them being in Wales, so they have to get their business done this month. But yeah, expecting some incomings there, certainly, to strengthen them.
Yeah, on that transfer window, you know, in transfer window in the pro game, and other than the Welsh clubs, as you mentioned there, it, you know, doesn't have the same effects on the National League as it did in years gone by. But we always see a lot of players moving from non-league. This week, Fleetwood made a local swoop to sign winger Kyle White from AFC Blackpool. I know I'd seen a few social media things about his impact as a young player that he'd been having up at AFC Blackpool. But it's nice to know that pro clubs are keeping an eye on non-league, all the way down to AFC Blackpool's level.
Yeah, absolutely. We seem to see more and more moves really for players into the Football League, which is brilliant. And yeah, certainly clubs are looking down at non-league for sort of the next sort of star, the next talent really. Which is great. And you know, like we say, sort of as much as Wrexham, we sort of be looking in getting players in. You know, those top clubs in the National League will, you know, be kind of be hoping at the same time that they don't lose players, but it's sort of bittersweet really, because you know, I think often managers say as much as it's a shame to sort of lose your one of your best players, seeing them move on is also nice really into the Football League particularly. So you know, I think there'll be comings and goings from non-league this month, and of course sort of as time goes on in the season.
And as ever, comings and goings, a couple of managerial changes as ever to report on. The big surprise, probably Craig Elliott up at Boston United parting ways after a 3-2 home defeat at Alphington on Sunday.
I suppose a bit of a surprise in the sense that they're still in the playoffs as things stand, but yeah, it's just not really sort of happened for them this season. They were sort of backed as one of the favourites for the title in pre-season. But yeah, they're sort of off the pace of that 12 points off leaders Brackley. But like I say, in the playoffs, but although having lost their last three games, and you know, I think Craig Elliott was probably always look back on his time at the club and think sort of what if really, because obviously they got to the North playoff final last year, and you know, a mistake from their goalkeeper you know, cost them, and they lost 1-0 in that final. And you know, it's those sort of sliding door moments, that sort of little bit of luck that you need, and if something goes against you, you know, it just goes to show sort of what can happen really. You know, it could be heading to somewhere like Notts County this weekend, sort of, you know, had things been slightly different. So yeah, tough one for Craig Elliott to take, but you know, I'm sure he'll be back in somewhere pretty quickly.
Yeah, and as much as we, you know, the boards get knocked week in, week out by fans, you know, it's always a tough decision to make as well. But as you say, on the back of that series of defeats, you're looking at the table there. They might be seventh in the playoffs zone, but they've got nine defeats behind them already this season, which is never a sign of a club that are likely to be challenging for promotion. That said, I mean, it's going to be one of those vacancies that will sure to have lots of applicants, unless I guess that they've already lined up their celebrity fan Sir Jonathan Van Tam take over.
Quite possibly. No, interesting point you make there. Obviously, yeah, they've won nine, lost nine this season, which sort of tells the story of their inconsistencies really, and how up and down it's been for them. And yeah, like I say, sort of no one really sort of expected that from them this year. And like you say, if you've sort of already lost almost 10 games, yeah, you're not going to be in the title race. But no, there won't be any shortages of applications for that job, of course. Obviously just gone to a new stadium as well. I think Ian Culverhouse's name has been sort of heavily mentioned, but yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Luke Tufts as well, handed in his resignation at Ashford Town, Middlesex, with a side in fairly decent form, I think, in recent weeks in the Isthmian South Central Division. He's put together a good side there, and he's taken up the manager's job at Leatherhead, who are bottom of the Isthmian Premier. I can see, I know he's very ambitious, and I can see the desire to go to a big club at the next level up, but it's going to be a tough position to turn around, really, there.
Yeah, spot on. Obviously, Leatherhead having a really difficult time of it in the Isthmian Premier League so far this season. Yeah, bottom of the league. They've lost 11 times at home and not won at home yet. And yeah, some sort of real problems there, really. And yeah, to sort of go in there and turn it around is going to be a big ask. But no, good to see him sort of, you know, want to try and push himself, though, I suppose, at a higher level. And yeah, certainly not an easy one going in there. You know, it sort of rarely is, I suppose, for a manager to go in somewhere and for everything to be rosy. But yeah, that's definitely a difficult one. But good luck to him. Looking forward to following his progress there.
And who'd be a manager, eh? Probably plenty of people that you've spoken to for this weekend's paper as well. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, well, some managers who are certainly having a better time of things, that's for sure. I spoke to Andy Wing at Banbury, who are flying and 13 points clear at the top of the Southern League Premier Central. Seven consecutive victories since they lost at St Ives in early December, so going really well there. Similarly, Bracknell, who are 14 games on a 14 game winning run and flying at the top of the Isthmian League. South Central, 14 points clear at the top as well, so yeah, going really well. Similarly, also spoke to Larkhall ahead of their big trophy tie next weekend at Stockport County. We've got lots more trophy previews as well. Colin from Tony Incenso returns. We also spoke to Luke Tufts, as we were talking about there. Eccleston going well and crowds boosted under Martin Carruthers there, which is good to see. Quite a lot of step three and four bits and pieces in there this week, but we'll have all the National League reports as usual as well, and of course FA Cup too. So busy paper as usual, so any support is always appreciated.
And hopefully, as you say, some cup heroes on the front page there. David, we'll be going out, make sure that we grab our copy of the non-league paper on Sunday, but thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
And that's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and for everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L, as ever. You can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. I'm off to load up with some more antibiotics and hopefully bring you a full-length show next week. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA